All right, good evening, everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker discussing Parshas Vayira. So yesterday we opened up with our discussion about the Akedah, actually not about the Akedah, but the willingness of Avraham Avinu to practice forms of kindness that are way beyond our grasp, way beyond our understanding. And we also discussed the Chartek Rav with regard to the understanding why there were three malachim that appeared and why it happened to be the third day. And that, again, is commensurate to the efforts of an individual to do good. And even when he's unsuccessful, it's as though he did that good. As the Chazal tell us, Chishav la'asas mitzvah menenes ma'ala l'kasav kilu asa, that it's as though he had accomplished it. Tonight I wanted to discuss the elements of Sodom and the travels of Lot. We all know the story about the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avraham Avinu in last week's parsha, fighting among themselves because they said, well, what's the big deal if we allow our flock, our sheep, our rams, our oxen to graze in the fields of Avraham Avinu? There's no Yoresh, and if we had to pick one, it would probably be his nephew, his brother's son. So since the land is going to be coming to us anyhow, let's just go ahead and act as though it's ours today. And that caused a disagreement between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot. And as a result, it didn't take too much longer after that for Avram Vina to say, Hiparei na me'elai, you should go distance yourself from me. And if you go to the right, I go to the left, left, right, whatever it is. It doesn't seem like we can coexist at the same time together. So Lot takes this admonition in stride and decides to go down to Mitzrayim because Kigan Hashem Keret Mitzrayim, this reminded him of a place where he did not have to be reliant upon the divine mercy to provide rain, because the Nile River, the Delta, always overflowed and irrigated the plains. So it wasn't necessary for anyone to be praying, God, please give us rain. The rain was already there. So here we find that Lot now finds himself in Sodom, and the angels come and they try, and they're about to destroy it. And Avraham Avinu is alerted to this. Why? Because Hashem says that I want to make him into a great nation, so how can I make him into a great nation if I don't alert him to the trials and tribulations of these people? This actually is a very, it's a very challenging parsha to understand, because if we know that there are Rishonim in this world, why in the world do we allow them the grace that a great tzaddik should daven on their behalf? I'm sure we can think of examples of why this would be a challenge even in today's age, but nevertheless, Hashem was teaching Avraham Avinu a message that we have to be able to see beyond what's in front of us and look forward to the future. And I think this is emblematic of examples where Moshe Rabbeinu looks at the he looks at the Mitzri and doesn't see anything redeeming from this Mitzri in the future, and so he kills him. Avraham Avinu perhaps saw something redeeming about some of these people, and he davened. And he davened because that's what Hashem wanted him to do, and it caused him to rise above the circumstances of his time. However, we know that the people of Sodom were not only were they unkind to people. The Chazal tell us, actually, it's the Gemara that tells us in Baba Basra that Eliezer finds himself, in Sodom, and he goes to sit down at a table. And he sits there and he's eating, and people came over and said, well, we don't treat guests over here. Where did you get this food from? And he had gone to a wedding, and he was eating it. So he says, oh, yeah, well, someone invited me. Well, they went after the people that organized the wedding and said, what's going on over here? So this is the temperament of these people. But the critical mass, or the straw that broke the camel's back, was when the Pasuk tells us, Hakta Kasa by Eli, which Chazal say, and this refers to the daughter of Lot, who found a poor person and would feed him bread, and this person was sustained as a result. The mentality was a wicked mentality. It's the same mentality I'm not sure if it's Immanuel Kant or some other philosophers in the 18th century, that might makes right. And this understanding that if God wanted you to be wealthy, then you would have riches. If God wanted you to be poor, then you'd be very poor. So if Hashem decided that you should be poor, who am I to go and intervene and intercede and make things beneficial for you when it was already ordained by God? This is a mentality that is not a new mentality. It's an old mentality. It's something that the people of Sodom profess. We live here in Sodom. We do not take in guests. We do not welcome visitors. And as a result, those who do, and those who do treat visitors in a kind way, they will be punished. And so they learned that this girl was doing this chesed, this kindness. Where did she learn the kindness from? So she learned it because she grew up witnessing, her great uncle Avraham Avinu practicing kindness. And when they put tar and on her, and they put feathers, and they put honey, she died a painful, painful death. So her cries went straight up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Her tears, her efforts, her pulos, her cries are the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was awakened in a sense. Hashem never sleeps, never rests. But this is like a siren that went off in Shemayim. Here is a person who is trying to emulate the good deeds of Avraham Avinu, and the schar, the reward, is so strict and unkind and unjust that such a community cannot exist. It simply cannot be tolerated, despite the fact that there might be 10 righteous people. As we know, we stopped at that point. But there was nothing there that could help those people, because it was more than the Dor HaMabul, where it was a Eretz Mele Chamos, which we say is a land that was filled with Hamas, translated in this sense, refers to theft, that people were taking a berry off of a cart, a penny off of a cart. And it's not possible to bring people to justice over a penny or a small amount of food. But if the entire civilization disregards the value of others, even when it comes to the small increments that a person may be able to sell from a push cart, then there is no society at all. And that is the reason for its destruction. In addition to the fact that there was also immorality among the animals and the individuals, and everything was confusing. So this is obviously the preeminent reason that there was theft. And secondary to this would be the immorality of its day and age. That's the Dor HaMabul. But when it came to Sodom, it was the antithesis of what Avraham Avinu had professed his whole life as an Ish Chesed. As we define him at the beginning of the parsha, we see the dichotomy between the two characters. One is one who wants to go out of his way, almost to the point where it can kill him, to welcome visitors. And the second are a group of people that would kill anyone who actually practiced anything related to the understanding and the philosophy of Avraham Avinu. So these are two diametrically opposed societies that are head-on with one another. And now we find Avraham Avinu not joining, but asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. The decision of Hashem to grant such forgiveness is strictly divine. But here Avraham Avinu was commanded to do so, and he does so, and it's only because of this girl, his great niece, that suffered so terribly and died a miserable death. This is the reason why Sodom is being destroyed. That her tears, her cries came out to me. And so this is a brief understanding as to the introduction to this parsha of Sodom, and the actions as we transition from this parsha to that of the post post the annihilation of the Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot and his wife and daughters flee because there's nothing for them left, and Avraham Avinu is rushing down to get them out and praying to help them. We know that the reason why he did so is because he understood that Lot is carrying the Zara Mashiach. Lot is carrying the future of Klal Yisrael. It may be very unusual to say it like that, because why would we look at Lot and find favor and grace? But it is true that from Lot's daughters, we end up with a Moav and an Ammon and a Moav. Interestingly enough, Amman is the capital of Jordan, and south of Amman is Moab, the Moabite desert. So clearly, these are the children, and they took a preeminent role in history and in our current geography, where we find that their names are very much still there. And that in itself should give us a little bit of pause to understand their rationale in doing what they did with their father, because as the Gemara, as the Tosfos in Yavamah brings down, Lo bara olam l'shevet yitzera, Hashem did not create this world so that folks can be alone. If they truly believe that the world was desolate and there was nothing in the world to sustain itself, then their actions were just. It just brings into question what exactly is happening over here, and what is the message, and why is it happening? And I think I'd like to leave off on that point. Let you ponder this thought, ponder the question. We're going to kick it around tomorrow, and we're going to uncover some amazing things brought down from the Ben Ish Chai in the Gilas Rus. I'll be happy to share that with you at that time. Thank you so much for joining us, and looking forward to building out this discussion tomorrow night. Again, tonight's share is dedicated as a refuah shlema to Reuven and Sarah. We shall know b'suros tovos, v'vasalanu b'suros tovos, yeshuos v'nachamos, and the family should only know simchas in our day, in our time. And this is Mordechai Plotzker in Hillside, New Jersey, welcoming and wishing you the very best this night has to offer. And God willing, tomorrow night we will, Be'ez Hashem, continue in good stead. Have a great night.